You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The return we've all been waiting for is finally here. One of sport's most notorious icons is stepping into the octagon this Saturday. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a free shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is really easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about football playoffs, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs this weekend. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the weekend. That's promo code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, only at DraftKings. Minimum of $5 deposit, eligibility restrictions apply, and see DraftKings.com for details.
It's done! The burger! Scores! In for the score! Blake Connery! Wrap around now! Another chance! They score!
Little sauce about Dale! Scores!
All right, everyone, and welcome to episode one, the maiden voyage episode of the Rig Rats podcast and Oilers podcast brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a pretty exciting show here for you. I'm joined by a good friend of mine and, you know, fellow hockey enthusiast, Kyle. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, folks. How are you?
Kyle is going to be here for the majority of the podcasts here for this season. So I guess, Kyle, what are your first thoughts right off the bat about the Edmonton Oilers? What are you feeling on the Edmonton Oilers? Just the franchise. All right. We'll not talk about the team yet. I'm just talking about the franchise of the Edmonton Oilers. Cause I am a diehard Oilers fan. You are a little bit, you know, a few Oilers fan, fandom removed, but you know, we still appreciate the support. So how are you feeling? Like what's your thoughts on the Oilers?
Yeah, so like you said, you yourself, diehard fan, and I've been around you a while, so
it rubs off a little bit. Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's they're good. They're good in my eyes. You know, always like there, you know, it's like, oh, okay, we'll go for the Oilers.
A storied past. I mean, you know, potentially the greatest player to ever play the game of hockey. I mean, five Stanley Cups, that's pretty good. But I mean, you know, we're looking at this season for the Oilers. I think first off, before we get into, you know, season like predictions or any of that stuff, the Oilers did make some moves over the off season. I don't think we should go too in depth into them because most of the people here, I mean, we're three games into the season at this point, and we will talk about those too. But I mean, they made some moves, so I guess we'll start. What do you think was the biggest Oilers off season move?
We'll
go from biggest to smallest.
I'd say probably. I think picking up Turris was a big, big move, you know, adds a little depth in the center chart, got him on a pretty cap friendly deal. So, you know, gives him a lot of room to outperform his cap expectations. I'll say that. So, you know, he's always been a solid forward, nothing crazy, but, you know, puts up numbers and plays his position. So I think it'll let him, he might be able to run the second power play, especially with having, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl on the first one.
Yeah, so, he's never getting on the first
one. No, he's not cracking the first one.
Here's what I will say, actually. Just a quick tangent. Alex Chiasson is on the first power play unit, and I would like to make the argument that Chiasson shouldn't be there at all, and Turris could, I say, do a better job than Chiasson.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm going to say probably Oilers' biggest offseason move at considering that Clefbaum has now been ruled out for the entire season, which is a huge loss. I mean, that was an off-season move, I guess, for the Oilers in general. And they put him on LTIR and stuff like that. Shoulder issues. And I know you're a guy that had – who played hockey. Yeah. I was actually on the ice when you received a lot of your shoulder issues. So
plenty of them.
I mean, shoulder issues are no joke. I mean,
it's,
you can
certainly not
that.
Fun to play with. When I saw the injury come through, I was looking more into it just to see, you know, what's the injury involving, what's going on. And I was like, oh, shoulder. And it said, you know, it's been a lingering problem for a couple of years. So it makes sense that, especially now, he's kind of established himself. So you kind of understand the, you know, playing past few years, playing through it just to, you know, make your name and say, listen, like, if I take time off, my spot will still be here kind of deal. So, but I kind of understand that shoulder problems are just an absolute, just a tear on you. It's brutal.
So that being said, then with Clefbaum now out, I'd say the Oilers' then biggest move was probably Tyson Barry. I mean, they brought in, you know, I mean, they needed someone to, you know, get on that first power play as a defenseman. I am still sort of, I think it'd sort of be fun to see the five forward, you know, potential, but right. I don't think they're there yet. And so with Clefbaum out, I think they bring in Barry. He'll be able to play on that first power play unit. And then I think he'll also give decent minutes as a third pairing at 5-on-5 because he's not playing on the first two lines. And cheap one-year deal. And I think it's going to the defense is going to need all the help it can get because for the most part, the Oilers are a pretty young defensive core now.
Right, right. And he definitely adds a good veteran aspect. He had a bit of an off year last year with the Leafs. I don't know that that's necessarily
I'd like to
his
say,
fault.
I was going to say like,
his fault.
I don't think he played great.
In general.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you're saying, like, you'd like to see the five-man offense. Tyson Barry is essentially a forward that plays defense.
Yeah.
I mean, he adds a lot of offense. He's still, you know, solid, but nobody in the league is saying, hey, Tyson Barry is the best defensive defenseman. No one's saying that.
Well, the Oilers, we definitely didn't get Barry to play defense.
Right. Well, so, I mean, and that's what he adds, you know, definitely a lot of offensive firepower from the blue line. But certainly it's not an even trade off for Clefbaum. Not even close. So
No, for sure. For sure. I mean, the Oilers also have a lot of defensive prospects in their system. They've been drafting pretty high in the draft. For defense. And so there, which is a good thing. You always need defense because you never know how many of those are going to really pan out. I mean, some of the other offseason moves the Oilers made this season, they brought Jesse Puljujarvi back, which I was super hyped for. Be honest, there was a period of time when it seemed like he was out of the NHL for good.
Right.
So I'm super excited to see him back. And I kept a little bit of an eye on him in when he was overseas and he seemed to play well. He's come back with a little bit of fight and he's looked, I'd say he's had some jump in his step since returning these last three games.
Yeah. I think definitely his time overseas probably helped him out, you know, let him mature a little bit. I think I saw, you know, when he was playing over there, he was definitely the leading scorer on his team. So, you know, that'll give you a little ego boost, you know, get
you
up there feeling
the cool
confident.
He had the cool golden helmet that they do overseas.
Exactly. Like,
I just think that's
that was
so
my
cool.
favorite. The yellow helmet with the flames or the gold one.
Or the gold one. You know they're hot. They're on fire.
Yeah. So I think he'll definitely come back with a little more. I think it gave him some time to mature. Because, I mean, he's still, what is he, 22? So he's still young. You know, he's got plenty of time. I think it just needs an extra second to settle into his shoes, find his role and play it, you know?
And then one of the big things that the Oilers were dealing with, I'd say, and one of the things that hurt them the most in the play-in round versus Chicago was their lack of depth scoring, right? I mean, McDavid and Dreisaitl are going to carry your load most of the nights, but on the nights that they're not, the rest of the team has to pick them up. And so the Oilers did a bunch of little signings. I'd probably put Jesse Puljujarvi sort of in that category as well.
Yeah.
Feels a little different from an Oilers fan standpoint because he was already an Oiler, but I mean, they re-signed Kyle Turris after bringing him in at the trade deadline. I I love Turris as a depth forward. Like, he can play up and down your lineup. He's fast, and he's got sneaky good hands.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's one of those things, is, you know, you kind of look at the guy and you're like, oh, third line.
And he's tiny. He's
and
tiny.
Then he's like, whoop, boom, here he's gone.
Yep. And then on that same, you know, thing of less size but more speed and skill, they go and get Dominic Cahoon, who will play a little bit higher up the lineup and is childhood friends with Leon Draisaitl.
There you go. Yeah, it add a little chemistry to the team, a little more, you know.
And played a good interesting fun fact about Draisaitl and Cahoon. One point when they played together when they were kids, Cahoon outscored Draisaitl. He put up like 230 points in one season. Yeah, they were pretty good together when they were like 11.
Yeah. There's some team in Toronto too where there was like four or five superstars playing on the same like Pee Wee A team, and they were just tearing it up. Those are always the funniest when you see those guys, you know, flashback to their young days.
I put up, you know, 250 points and, you know, 20 games. Deal. No big deal.
Yeah. Not a big 36 game season, 500 points.
Average like 9 points a night. No problem.
Yeah, not a big deal.
But I mean, so overall, I mean, and then also, I guess on the other thing, they also re-signed Mike Smith, which was my biggest disappointment. In the Oilers off season. But so we'll start there, because we've played some three games and, you know, some people picked up injuries and stuff already, and some of the team has changed around a little bit. But just from an off season standpoint, what would you grade Ken Holland and the Oilers on the off season?
I'd say it's there's a couple of unforeseen things, like you said, like the, you know, with Klefbom getting hurt Klefbom deciding to do the surgery and whatnot. So there's a couple of unforeseen things that you can't really control. So with those in mind, I'd say probably I'd give him a B. You know, because you made a couple of conscious moves, you know, to add a little depth. He didn't really make any big blockbuster huge moves, but, you know, there was definitely a few guys getting signed, you know, a couple of re-signs, bringing PRV back. You know, he made conscious moves and got a lot of those guys for good deals, you know, nothing, no crazy money was being spent. So I'd give him a B on it. It's a good.
And when the offseason was going, because the Mike Smith signing was really the last thing they did, they picked up all the other positions, and the Oilers were really in on Markstrom, and then it didn't work. And so they went and re-signed Smith. And I was ready to give Ken Holland like an A. If he'd picked up a goalie, like if he'd picked up any other, not any, but if he picked up someone better than Smith, like, yeah. I was going to be like A+, incredible offseason. You know, he filled some points of need and he shored up our goaltending.
Right.
You re-signed Smith, and I don't think I can give him higher than like a B+. I think he should get some credit for the amount of cap work and just salary.
Yeah.
Like to keep everyone nice and low, and either 1 to 2 year deals, like relatively low risk, low reward, or potential high reward even for some of them, like that bumps his grading up a little bit, but you
sure,
know,
but then at the end,
it's
2 years ago, I'd say Mike Smith, you pick him up and it's like, sweet Mike Smith. You know, I always liked Mike Smith, you know, through his career. He played
Arizona for a while. I mean,
played for the Lightning for a hot second. You know, I like the way he played. He was crazy. You know, he would just go jump on things. he'd be out past the circles throwing stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing? But he made it work. But now he's getting past his prime for sure. And it's like,
one biggest issue with Mike Smith is that, like you said, he definitely plays a less. He put a more unorthodox style of goaltending.
Right.
But like he there's a lot of fluke goals. Like he'll lose the puck behind the net. Or I think back to even like, he just, for some reason, his whole career, like even in Arizona, when the puck went up in the air and fell in his pants
and then he backed into it.
Like that's hard to blame on him, but it just seems like he always gives up a couple like, why? And they're always at bad moments too. Like I'm pretty sure that goal in Arizona that went in was the game winning goal. A couple times, even in the play-in round versus Chicago, like we had the lead, and then he'd give the puck away and they'd score, and right, you lose all your momentum from that.
Yeah.
I will say, he did give me one of my favorite Oilers memories of all time when he beat the absolute living breaks off of Cam Talbot in the Battle of Alberta. That was incredible. But
that whole game was just insane.
Oh my goodness. From a puck stopping standpoint, suspect. Suspect
right. For sure. Well, and so like you were saying, that, you know, the unorthodox style definitely lends him to some questionable goals that go in. So, you know, and I said, I like it from an entertainment standpoint. Watching hockey when he's in net is like, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, how's it going to go? But if I'm Ken Holland, you know, I'm looking at it like day in, day out, consistency, Mike Smith is not your guy.
Right. Yeah. And so now we have to lean on Koskinen more. And I thought Koskinen was relatively good. And I also had a lot of worry that Tippett, because Tippett is a big Mike Smith fan, right? Tippett's right. been with Mike Smith for a long time. I'm pretty sure he even had Smith in Dallas way back when Tippett was early in coaching as well. So I was always worried that he was going to play Smith a lot more. So now, I guess, moving away from ripping on Mike Smith, Mike Smith hasn't played a game for the Oilers this season and has now been placed on LTIR. They haven't disclosed what the injury is. I don't think any team is going to this season. I think if someone gets hurt, it's just, oh, they're unfit to play. And then they either are LTIR or they come back. And then in response to that, and this season is going to be a little different when it comes to, you know, stuff like that. And especially like here, because while there are a couple different goalies the Oilers could have gone through, they're not all in Canada. And so even if Ken Holland were to pick up a goalie, like a lot of people I saw when they put Mike Smith on LTIR, a lot of people were like, Jimmy Howard still needs a job. And like Jimmy Howard's a relatively serviceable, like I would say Jimmy Howard and Mike Smith are probably on par.
Yeah. But I would say Jimmy Howard is
probably a little bit more consistent.
Definitely a little more consistent. Yeah.
So like I was like, ooh, that would be nice. But even if they were to do that and they did it for a good price, he'd have to sit and wait in quarantine for 14 days to
get a visa and
all that stuff. So like even if you wanted to get a goaltender, like he's not gonna play for you
for
almost a whole month. And yeah. Right. Like that's
it's an undisclosed amount of time because with all the COVID stuff going on, it's ever changing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Canada and US, both of them have, you know, laws that are just going in and out and, you know, mandates here and there that are just changing every day. So, you know, there's no telling what could have happened if they were trying to pick up a goalie in America, but.
So then in response to that, Ken Holland, obviously we need a backup. He signed then Troy Grosnick, who I'm going to be honest, never heard of before. That could have been a completely made up like NHL 20 randomly generated character. Yes. And I would have just been like, yep, that makes sense. That doesn't, I will say though, he does have three career games and a .948 save percentage. So
that's pretty good. I looked into him a little bit and he
is 31 though.
Yeah. But so even when he was playing in the A, he averaged relatively good numbers. Even the past couple seasons, pulled up, looked at it earlier. He's playing, you know, almost 45 games. And he's putting up right here a .241 goals against and a .919 save percentage at with that many games. That's not a bad, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good stat line for a guy that age.
I think you see though, this is sort of one of the big things that the Oilers really don't have a lot of backup plans or options in net this season.
Yeah.
They wanted Markstrom in the offseason.
Right.
They didn't. The Flames are bastards. But they signed him for a lot of money for a long time. But that's a different story, right?
Yeah.
They didn't get the goaltending. And so now it's like, I think Koskinen's a serviceable goal contender. I think he's pretty good.
Last game, he played out of his mind. I mean,
but Koskinen's also struggles under a large workload, which is why we split it. And we also don't have, like, Smith went down. And then we were like, oh, no, our rookie goaltenders aren't ready for real backup duty. Like, I don't think, right now our backup for the last game was Stuart Skinner. I don't think he's played an NHL game. And then we just recalled Olivier Rodrigue from the Austrian league. And he was only drafted, I think, 2 seasons ago. So he's still very much a kid.
I mean, yeah, he's 20. So like I was saying with Puljujärvi, there's a lot of room to grow into those shoes.
For sure. But you can't use him as a backup, I would say, even.
No, I would agree.
So I think that'll be interesting to see how that develops going forward, because I think Koskinen is good for now, but eventually you have to give him a couple nights rest. And
yeah, what's going to happen in those nights?
That's a perfect segue then, right? So we've played 3 games into the season. All right.
Yeah.
With these new things, I should say that one caveat, it's not a huge caveat. Neil has been not played yet. He is still injured. Maybe a week, 2 weeks away from coming back. Right. He's been skating, but he's not going to be with the team for a little bit.
Right. I think I saw when I was looking, I thought he was on the COVID list. And then so finally he got off the COVID list and started skating with the team on Friday, I believe. So it'll be interesting to see when they start to put him in the lineup.
And that'll get Chase on off the power play, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it'll definitely be a lot of help. So, you know, I was able to watch the entire game, the entire last game.
We'll go through this. So we start with game one. The Oilers are 1-2 now on the season so far. They've got 2 points out of a possible 6. I am very displeased, I will say that, from the beginning. First game one, I watched all of it and was not happy, because the Oilers have had a tradition, I'd say for the last like 5 years, they play Vancouver game one. The opener night is versus Vancouver or the Flames, and the Oilers beat them just in spectacular fashion every night. Connor McDavid goes supernova, and it's a great time for everyone. So I was looking forward to the season starting and to continue the tradition along of beating Vancouver on the opener. And instead, what we got was just, I'd say really sloppy hockey. It is just, you could tell that no one has actually played a full speed game versus opponents that don't care about you. You know, in a long time, because the speed, and just like, you can also tell they haven't played with each other in a while. You could tell that training camp's been super short. And I think you can see that from just the whole league, you know, people are missing passes there. There's been a lot more. The Oilers gave up a lot of breakaways in this game just because, right? Like, and I'd say even a theme through the whole game is there's a lot of miscommunication just really all over the ice. Offensive zone, they're missing passes. Defensive zone, they're missing assignments or breakout passes. Neutral zones, they're missing some of the, you know, the connecting plays to get them actually into the zone, which has kind of been frustrating to watch. And we were in it for a little bit, but like the Oilers, it just kept seeming, especially in that game one, the Oilers would, you know, they'd get within one and then the Canucks would make it another 2-goal lead. And then they'd score another one and get within one and a 2-goal lead. And it was just, I was really frustrated with it.
It's just frustrating. I think that's a good word to use, especially the game one, like you were saying, I think you can kind of see it in the whole league. Everybody's just a little rusty, you know, it's just kind of sloppy. Like nobody's really put together and you could see that on both sides, Edmonton and Vancouver in that first game, which it was like showing up to a beer league game. And you're like, you guys a little drunk?
Like showing up to a beer league game and you've played with, you know, everyone's had their beers before the game. You know, you've played with like maybe 5 of the guys. Picked up with like 4 other subs. So you don't really know who you're playing with.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my buddy's in from like New York. He's going to come play today. Okay, man.
Then luckily though, so the cool thing about this season is it's going to be a lot of games in a very short amount of time. So they were able to bounce back that next day. And it seemed like, and also I'd say it seemed like they also didn't really, they forgot that it was the season opener versus Vancouver. And so then they decided to actually, you know, continue the tradition beating the brakes off of Vancouver, not on the season opener. And Connor McDavid went supernova with a hat trick about halfway through the second period. His second goal was just disgusting. Power play goal, drops it back, the backhand saucer pass 3 feet in the air from the opposition's blue line back to your own blue line to a in-flight McDavid from Draisaitl was just phenomenal. I was watching the post-game interviews and all of them were laughing because Tyson Barrie was like, I thought that was coming to me. I tried to knock the puck down. Thank God I didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's one of those things. It's just like, when McDavid's on the ice, you kind of don't want to touch the puck because you're like, well, is he going to pick it up? Is he going to come get it? But,
and that was a big problem, actually. I'd see a lot of the time, and it just seems when McDavid's on the ice, and this is happening with Draisaitl now too, I've noticed, after, you know, his huge season last season. And people are starting to see Draisaitl is one of the best in the league, that his line mates are like,
Oh God, take it.
You know, and there has to be a little bit of composure because the other team knows they have to cover McDavid and Draisaitl.
Right,
and
so they'll throw two guys on them.
Right, exactly. And so what is going to free them up or make you more dangerous is not always deferring to Connor McDavid. And
exactly.
I don't know how you don't do that, right? He just has such a presence on the ice.
Right.
How do you play through that? Like, how do you not give it to the best player on the earth?
Right. And I mean, it's so easy just to be like, hey man, you're good. You want it. And then it's one of those things that, you know, you kind of got to play. I think McDavid's kind of got to take that one and talk to his line mates and be like, hey, here's the deal. To make me better, let's make you better. And then, you know, not even make them like skill wise better. Just, here's what you need to do. So instead of immediately catching it and giving it back, I mean, obviously there's a situation for the give and go, you know, but do something. Go skate up a little, skate wide, bring the puck wide, wait for me to come in, you know, and then, you know, move it around, set it up. I noticed in a couple of games, it was really hard to set up in the zone. And then once they set up in the zone, it was more of a, they're playing in the corners a lot. And it's like, okay, you know, I understand a little cycle, but they weren't playing in the corners by themselves. They were getting beat to pucks, and then they're scrambling to get pucks out of the corner and fighting for it hard. And I mean, you know, you can commend a good fight in the corner, but it can't be all game. You know, you got to find a way to get it to the point, move it around. You know, if it goes behind the net, cool, but make sure you have it in possession instead of always being a fight in the corner, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that game was an incredible turnaround. And I mean, so McDavid right now is right. They split up Draisaitl and McDavid. You're trying to play them on two different lines. That's the way you're going to optimize.
Spread the wealth.
Exactly. We know McDavid and Draisaitl are disgusting together.
Right.
But you have to spread it out. So right now McDavid's playing with Nugent Hopkins and Cassian, and Draisaitl is playing with Yamamoto and Cahoon. So far, I'd say the Draisaitl line has had better zone time and possession. I think Draisaitl is just in general, just a more possession based player, right? He invites the contact. He likes to shield the puck and really hold people off. And he likes to start that cycle and then work from that. Whereas McDavid is pure speed and hands, right? Like most of his stuff is being able to do it super fast, faster than everyone. And think about it faster than you thought about it. And that's what makes McDavid amazing.
Exactly. He just creates situations that you wouldn't think. You're like, and then it's done. And the puck comes back to the net. You're like,
it's at another speed.
You were literally just got on the ice. How is the puck in the net? But
so how do we feel about those lines though? Like, do we feel like because I was even worried, right? Because then looking to the next game, right? The Oilers explode.
Right.
Draisaitl has 4 assists and McDavid has a hat trick and an assist in that one. Great game, great turnaround. Oilers Nation and Oilers fans take a deep breath and we're like, okay, maybe we have a chance.
It's okay.
And then we go into the first game versus Montreal, which means there is 8 left and there are 8 games left versus Vancouver on the season left. And they lose 5-1. And so I was at work, I'll admit. I didn't watch this game live, or at least from TV.
Right.
I'm really glad I didn't, because that would have made me just unbelievably frustrated to watch. You, however, had the unfortunate job of actually watching this game live.
I did.
So
cool thing was, didn't have anything else to do.
So what? So I guess let's hear it. What did you see in the game?
Like I had mentioned, you can see that there's potential. You can see everybody's ready to play hockey. They show up, and there's a lot of energy on the ice. I think it's just poorly directed energy. So they're skating fast and they're skating hard and they're, you know, putting hits on and stuff, but it's not in the right areas. I think there's a point where it's too much energy and you got to kind of slow it down and look, you know what I mean? Keep the energy there, but compose yourself a little bit, look for the next play. You know, don't just look for the one guy, look for the two possible options, you know, make your best play instead of just always throwing the puck in low and chasing it. And then, like I said, getting into those corner battles again, where in all honesty, there was not a lot of, there wasn't a great turnaround rate for winning those in the corner. I think it was very chaotic. They just kind of played. There wasn't a lot of teamwork there. It was more of a, hey, let's try to do this. You know, let McDavid do it again like he did last night, or the other night. But I think it was hard to watch because you could see they all wanted to play together, and it just wasn't working. That being said, Carey Price did play out of his mind.
That was my follow-up question is, so Oilers fans, like, we see Vancouver a lot. We play them a lot during the regular season just anyway. So for the most part, Oilers fans know sort of the game and the players and what to expect when you play the Vancouver Canucks. The Oilers only play Montreal twice in a normal regular season. So now we have to play them 9 times. The Oilers, I'd say, have a relatively decent record in recent years versus the Canadiens. You said Price played unreal, and when Carey Price is on, he's the best goalie in the world, in my opinion. Still,
when he's hot, he's hot.
Like, so I get that is definitely a huge obstacle to overcome. You know, the immovable force versus the unstoppable force, the immovable object conundrum, and all that. But I mean, Thomas Tatar also ate us alive. That was a disgusting breakaway goal. And like I said, there's been so many breakaways just throughout the 3 games. Even in the 5-2 win, too many than you would like.
Right. And I think so. A lot of that came off of, so the Oilers had a few power plays in this past game, the loss to Montreal. They had a few power plays, and I think they over-pursued too hard. You know, they just assumed they were going to have possession, and then a pass got interrupted, or a shot got blocked, or, you know, somebody got a stick in the lane, and poof, they're off to the races. It's a 3-on-1, and you're on the power play. It's like, how are you coming back on a 3-on-1 on a power play? It's because they're pushing too hard. And I understand the want to – it's a power play. Let's score. I get that.
I also think that's your best chance. A little bit, the Oilers had the best power play in the NHL in the last 40 years, last season, right? They had a historic run. It was like 29%. It was crazy, the amount of times. Yeah. And that was one of the reasons why they did so well last season is you just cannot take penalties versus the Oilers because McDavid and Draisaitl will kill you. But I think now at this season, they've gone into it with, I don't know, expectations for the power play. And they almost like are too cute. They're looking for that extra pass. Or McDavid and Draisaitl are looking to either do the big brain pass to each other, like cross seam, which is really hard to make. It also seems, in my opinion, they haven't gotten fully used to or familiar with Barry yet.
Yeah. So I think that's another thing, because Barry, usually they have Klefbom on that
first unit. Klefbom is a lefty. And so normally a big problem with the power play last season, or I'd say not a big problem, because it was so good. But one of the talking points of the power play last season was that the entire power play was lefties. And so the addition of Klefbom was a big thing because they were like, okay, now we have a right-handed shot on the power play. But it seemed like a lot of times in all the games I watched, and I'm assuming they did it again in this one, Barry's sitting up there and it's either McDavid or Draisaitl on that far right half boards. And he's just sitting, waiting for the one timer. Right, just sitting, waiting for it. And they just refuse to give it
to him. They're not giving it to him.
They don't give it to him.
So they gave it to him a little more this past one. But I think that was also a problem, is because they're not used to throwing that pass to him. So I think that was also a bit of a problem with the creation of the breakaways, is because they're throwing that not thinking the shot's going to come, because they're given the pass. And obviously, they see him wound up. They know the shot's coming. But they don't think about, oh, the shot's coming. If it gets blocked or bounces out, we're going to have to bust tail to get back. So I think that was definitely a problem. But I mean, he put a few good shots through the middle. I mean, Montreal did a great job, just clogging the middle. And their decor is something to watch this year for sure. Montreal,
I'd also say that they've put together a relatively solid defensive forward group as well. Deneau is one of the best two-way forwards in the game. Josh Anderson is a big power forward, so that's kind of nasty. Gallagher and Tatar even are sound defensive players too.
And I think that's where Tatar had I don't remember. There was a shorthanded goal. I don't remember if it was Tatar. I think it might have been Tatar who scored that shorthanded goal. But with Tatar and Gallagher, they just kind of get off to the races. So they're sound defensively, and then poof, they're gone. They have a lot of speed with them too. So it was tough because Montreal looked like they were put together, and Edmonton still looked like there was a couple puzzle pieces flipped over on the table that you couldn't find.
So now they played three games. So now, right, this is a 53 game season.
56.
Okay, so there's 53 games left, and it's all versus the same like six opponents.
Six teams, yeah.
All right, so I get worried with every loss a little bit more than I think I would normally, because especially here, I'm like, okay, we're 1-2, but really we are 1-1 versus Vancouver, and now we're 0-1 versus Montreal. So you have to start making up those deficits versus those teams if you want, right? You have to be even or above 500 in every series with the team you're playing. And we're now sub 500 versus the two series we've even played.
You're even on Vancouver, but sub on the Montreal.
So we're 1-1 with Vancouver, and then we're 0-1 with Montreal. And I try really hard not to panic, because I feel like Oilers fans just in general have a really bad habit of just overreacting. Sure. And so I'm trying really hard not to, but like, what is the team like? Obviously, like, I don't know, like, what changes would you make to improve the team?
So, I mean,
and they've got Montreal tomorrow. I guess at the time that the people will be listening to this episode, the game will have either already been played, or they'll be listening to it brand new before the game played.
Right.
So they take on Montreal here relatively soon. So like, what do they have to do to not get, embarrassed again?
I think in an immediate sense, I think they just got to slow the game down a little, take your, don't try to make every time you get the puck, don't try to be a hero, do your job. You know what I mean? So I think, obviously McDavid and Draisaitl, that's kind of their job, is to be the hero. And I understand that, but I think the surrounding team has to slow it down and look at themselves and be like, hey, what is my job this shift? Break it down shift by shift. Did I jump on and now we're in the D zone? So my job this shift is to get the puck out and retain possession. Instead of thinking every time you get on the ice, I have to score. It's nice when you score. And obviously that's the whole point of the game, is score more goals than the other guy. But you got to break it down shift by shift when it's chaotic like that. You got to take it, every time you get on the ice, you have to have a goal. If it's your power play, your goal is to score. But if it's, you know, I'm getting on and I'm a third line guy, my job is to wear down the opponent, right? Wear them down on the other side. You know, if we get the opportunity to score, perfect. Flip the puck in the net. But, you know, wear them down. Keep the possession in the zone. You know, move it around. Get familiar with everybody. I think there, I wouldn't say I'd panic yet, because there's, you know, still plenty of hockey to play.
A lot of hockey left.
That's my favorite saying. A lot of hockey left. So there's plenty of hockey left. I think once they settle in, it'll be a little better. But I think the main immediate thing that needs to happen is everybody's got to slow it down a little bit. You know, keep the energy there, but look for better opportunities.
And so now looking ahead, all right, like I said, they're taking on Montreal here on Monday, and then they take on Toronto twice this week here. We'll have an episode coming out here midweek now that we've sort of smoothed out some of the technical difficulties we were having here at the beginning of the season. We'll have an episode here midweek, but midweek they will have started to take on Toronto this week. So I'm expecting hopefully a lot better of a bounce back game. I don't work tomorrow, so I'll be able to watch hopefully an Oilers win versus Montreal, and we can, you know, hit 500 at least on all our series so far.
Right.
The Toronto game is interesting, right? Because I've seen, right, they've played two games so far. They won one versus Ottawa last night, right, and then they lost their season opener to Ottawa as well. Ottawa, I'd say, has a relatively improved team, and Toronto, I'd say, actually made some decent moves this season
as well.
But I don't know. Toronto just is interesting because they're in their own heads sometimes, or there's just some weirdness around Toronto. I just never know what Toronto team to expect.
Well, and I think so, like we were talking about earlier with, you know, Tyson Barrie coming over, and we're like, well, he had an off year, but it wasn't really his fault because the whole team was kind of just a cluster.
Well, right?
The entire organization was just kind of like a
that's just Toronto though in a nutshell.
Yeah, but so I think they have a, you know, as usual, they have a ton of offensive firepower. It's just, will they be able to use it? And, you know, I think the Oilers definitely match their speed, you know, so going into that game, I'm not, you know, worried about Matthews and Marner and, you know, Nylander blowing by guys. That's not really, you know, especially when Connor's on the ice, nobody's faster than him. That's not how it works. So I think once you stay with him, you just got to, you know, shut down their main guys, because I think they also have a similar issue. As we had last season, you know, they don't have a ton of depth scoring. They don't, you know, there's not a lot of proven fourth line guys are gonna score on Toronto. It's, you're looking at Matthews and Marner and, you know, Nylander. And then so now with the addition of Jumbo Gel, you know, will they add a little grit? Are they gonna try to, you know, do what the Lightning did last season and throw a couple big guys that like to hit and round out the team? And then I think from an Oilers standpoint, they're gonna have to watch those top guys and just stay consistent. You know, third and fourth line has to stay consistent with their third and fourth line, and, you know, maybe take their opportunities. So
which Toronto Maple Leafs player's soul will McDavid snatch in this game? Because if you'll remember the last time the Oilers played the Leafs, Morgan Rielly was banished from this plane of existence.
Yeah, I think so. I'll tell you what, I think it's definitely not going to be Morgan Rielly, because I think he looked at that one.
He's never going to let that happen again.
I'm pretty sure every time he has a nightmare, that's what it is. I think he's pretty much like, yeah, no, not going to happen. If I take six penalties this game, making McDavid not make me look stupid, I'm okay.
McDavid's going to hop on the ice. He's just going to immediately, oh, line change.
Yeah, oh, I got to get off the ice, actually.
That was hard. Tired.
Yeah. Like, I think maybe, you know, I saw Joe.
I'm saying TJ Brody. TJ Brody. That's my prediction.
I think he buzzes by Jumbo Joe in some weird way. Just to give a little, you know, a nice middle finger. Listen here, old man. You know. Mind you, I love Jumbo, but he's just going to go,
So we talked about three games on this episode. Looking at those games, I guess all together, how would we grade the Oilers so far?
So far, you're lucky to get a C minus on those games.
The five-two game, right? Obviously brings the
really,
curve
really
up.
Bumps it up, right? Like that's your leveling point there. But I think the first game, like you said, they came out slow and sloppy, and then this past game, as you mentioned, bit of a dumpster fire. I think there's a lot of room for improvement.
All right.
In my best teacher voice.
All right. Well, I mean, I've run out of my bullet points here, buddy. You got anything else? Any around the league news? Shout out to Tim Stützle for scoring an absolute beauty for his first NHL goal.
Yeah. I mean, it's always nice to watch a guy score a gross one for the first, or in Austin Matthews' case, four. But, you know, it's cool to see, you know, those guys are starting to get into it, and you know, you look at the young guys that are coming in. So like, I'm excited to see what Lafreniere does in New York. I'm excited to see if maybe that'll show up. That should be an exciting group. It'll be an interesting year, that's for sure. I think a lot of new rivalries will have arisen.
Yeah, dude. Playing everyone that many times is going to be interesting, because you got to think by like game four, game five, you're just going to
know which guy you're
seeing that guy. And then the thing is like, you're not just playing like a new team every day, right? You're playing potentially the same team twice, three times in a row. So like, right, you saw one dude, he was chirping you all last game, and then you show up the next day and it's the same dude on the bench chirping you again.
Yeah.
Like he's still going at you. Like after a while, someone's gonna snap.
If you pull a Patty Maroon and throw a puck into the bench, it is what it is, you know. I'm sure we'll see a lot of that. And so you know, as much as the league has been trying to die the fighting down a little bit, which much to my dismay, that's definitely a big impact of the game. But I think this year it'll definitely be up. The fighting percentage will be higher. Guys that you wouldn't see fighting normally are going to start throwing hands, because they're, you know, instead of it being a role job, it'll be a, listen here, man, you're an asshole, I'm going to beat the wheels off you.
Yeah. Considering this is an Oilers-centric podcast and
right. This
is the first episode, I guess we should do some predictions, I guess. I got you know, one of us has bragging rights here at the end of the season, or we both can look dumb. So I'll say this: Oilers playoffs, yes or no?
Yes. I think yes.
You're saying yes. I mean I'm also gonna say yes.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking around that division, what they're running it, the playoffs they're running, top four teams each division get playoff berths, right? I think that's how it's working.
Right, I think it's top four teams, and then they play each other, and then it's the winner of each division then plays in the.
No, I think they said that it was supposed to be top four teams, and then so like those that you know, 1-4 and 2-3 play their first series. That's the first series is that, and then they move on. So then they're still playing, I guess, technically intra divisional. Into the next round. So I think it's top four teams each. I'll have to look into it.
They play each like interdivision playoffs.
Right.
And then the winner of those series then plays the winner of each other. For the crown of their division in the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay.
And then top four from each division play each other for that'd be the quarterfinals. Yeah, the quarterfinals. And then, that'd be the semis.
Yeah, because you get, what I guess it's, what is it, the West and the North, and then the East and the Central? I don't know
something
how
like
they're going to do it, but those.
And then they play each other, and then the winners of those.
And then that's it. That's,
well, yeah, and then you got the Stanley Cup Final. I mean, it's going to be an interesting season. It's going to be an interesting season. So we say Oilers playoffs. Right. Yes. All right. Yes. So now this doesn't have to be an Oilers thing, but biggest surprise to the season, like something, give me something you think could happen. Something you see happening.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't really. I said hard hitting questions.
I know. I'm going off script a little bit. You know, I didn't give you time.
No, I think with the shortened season, I think you're going to see teams show up that you wouldn't expect. You know what I mean? I think you might see a couple of teams that you'd be like, no shot. And then they just show up and they're like, big middle finger to you, because guess what?
Any of those teams you want to say might do it? Like any maybe bottom feeder teams you think might sneak in?
In true Biz Nasty fashion, I wouldn't be completely surprised if Arizona popped off this year.
I like that. Here's the thing though, because I felt the same way about Arizona last season as well.
Right, I thought they were going to do great, and honestly, it was a pretty good improvement from previous years. Last year was, and so even though they lose Hall, I think they still show up. You know, I think those guys that had time to mature and play with, you know, some real star power are like, hey, we get it. And now they're going to start playing good hockey, I think, in my eyes.
I think Ottawa's going to do it.
You got that much faith in Stützle?
I don't – not just Stützle, man. I think, like –
well, yeah.
Like, yeah. Matt Murray, I think, is an incredible improvement over whoever the hell they had in net and Craig Anderson.
I think it was still Craig Anderson.
Yeah,
but...
like, Matt Murray is a much better goalie than right. that, right?
He's got a couple cups.
Who else did they bring in? I mean, Brassard, I think they did as well.
I think they have – did I see – is Stefan playing for them?
That's who it is. It's not Brassard.
It's Stefan. It's not
– Brassard plays for Arizona.
Arizona still, yeah.
That's right.
Well,
that's
which
right.
is – it's funny because I think a few years ago they both played for New York.
Yes.
They both played for the Rangers. So, yeah, I think it's Stefan, which I always liked the way Stefan played hockey. You know, nose to the grindstone kind of guy. But I think, yeah, so Stefan and, you know, Tkachuk, that weasel.
He's gotten – listen, that is one of the – again, the Oilers, I might hate all of the Tkachuks after this season because the Oilers play them so many times.
Right.
So far, I don't mind Brady. Matthew, right. I cannot stand. I will wish just horrible.
He plays like a scumbag. I mean, to be honest with you, both of them play very
you gotta remember, right? Like that's their family line.
Oh yeah.
Though, right? Like they were born into that.
Oh yeah. It's like I'm sure they're playing you know, Timbits, Mighty Mighty Hockey, and their dad's like, go take that guy's knees. What? No, go take that guy's knees. He scored twice already. Go take him.
Yeah. You know? Keith Tkachuk taught them all at, like, the early, like, Mighty Ducks, Gordon Bombay. He's like, take the fall. Get indignant.
Yeah, I love it. It's definitely kind of cool. As much as if you're not a fan of their teams, you hate them. I think it is definitely kind of cool to see they have a weird combination of grind and skill. You know what I mean? It's like,
well,
like
they grew up like in the skill era, which is now.
But they still have that bloodline.
And they have the body type to play that grind style.
It is a
very neat, because I'd say Brady is definitely closer to a power forward just because he's the bigger of the two. But like they both play, like even Matthew plays that sort of
right.
power
even though he's doesn't have quite the size or the, you know, the stature for it. I think he definitely likes to play a little.
He's got some.
He likes
to
get chippy. I don't know. I don't know that either. I would say either of them are dirty, like completely dirty. You know, they're not taking.
But you got to remember, this is an Oilers podcast.
Well, yeah, yeah. So you know, but you know what I mean. I think they make things a lot. I think they make things very chippy. So I think I would agree, Matthew, definitely dirtier than Brady. But give Brady a few years, I think he'll get there.
I love that picture of, and this is my last thing about the Tkachuk, and we'll wrap up here, that picture of Brady Tkachuk when he's on the bench and they're screwing in the helmet, and he just, that the look on his face is so blank. Like, it looks like you're repairing a robot.
Yeah, he's like, okay, ready to go. It's like the Terminator.
All right, buddy. Well, I mean, we've got some predictions here, and I'm hopefully looking forward to our playoff predictions coming true. And
yeah,
I mean, big week ahead here for the Oilers. Hopefully they can turn things around here versus the Canadiens and Toronto. A lot of East Coast teams here. But I'm excited. And our next episode for everyone will come out on Thursday. Which is when the next episode will come out. And then it'll be a bi-weekly podcast. You can also follow the Rig Rats here on Twitter at the Rig _Rats podcast on Twitter. You can also follow me personally on Twitter at the Farley. And Kyle, where can they find you?
I'm not a big Twitter guy, but I do the Instagrams.
All right. I mean, plug your Instagram, dog.
You can follow me. Fryermoot 99, real long last name.
Good luck spelling that, everyone.
Good luck spelling it. But if you can find it, shoot me a follow.
All righty. You can also follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at
HockeyPodNet
on the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter. We're going to be doing a really cool jersey bracket challenge giveaway where you can enter in and that'll be on the Twitter for a potential chance to win whichever jersey wins the bracket challenge, and then the winners then will be then randomized. And so you could potentially win, which is really cool. And then also if you guys want, I mean, you heard the DraftKings ad at the beginning of the episode. We're really excited to be partnering with them. I've gotten really big into sports betting recently, so I'm looking forward to, getting into that and using DraftKings myself. And so I definitely suggest you guys do that and check out and make sure to use the promo code THPN on the DraftKings website for a little bit of a discount there as well. And that is going to do it for this episode. So, Kyle, I'm looking forward to the Rig Rats podcast taking off. And I guess this is where we'd smash the bottle against the bottom of the ship and
out
to sea we go.
There it is. I mean, I'm excited. I'm prepared for a good season here. We'll see how we progress.
Everyone, we will see you guys in the next episode. And let's go Oilers.
Go Oilers.
What is up, everybody? Mikey CLT here from Bar Down Breakdown, letting you know that our 100th episode is going to be dropping exclusively on the Hockey Podcast Network on January 27th. We will be joined by special guest Derek from the amazing pop punk band State Champs. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on all our socials so you do not miss any of our amazing episodes. We are so pumped that we have made it to episode 100. And to thank you, we are running an Instagram contest where one lucky winner can win a Steez brand snapback hat. So head over to our Instagram and enter our contest. Also, if you are just hearing about Bar Down Breakdown, make sure you go and check out our 99 other episodes where we have had artists who have been nominated for Grammys, all the way down to artists who are unsigned, where we dive into the crossover between alternative music and hockey. So make sure you go and check out Bar Down Breakdown wherever you listen to podcasts, brought to you exclusively by the Hockey Podcast Network.